Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. These two were faithful slaves of Christ for their entire Christian lives and show us patterns of ones that counted all things loss on account of Christ. Witness Lee completed his comprehensive work called The Life Study of the Bible before going to be with the Lord in 1997. And we're pleased to bring you recorded excerpts from the life study of Philippians on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, "I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ has called me upward." Paul's spiritual pursuit was focused on a particular goal and with the expectation of a specific prize. Since he had long since received the eternal salvation through faith in Christ, we have to assume that this goal and prize must be something other than the hope of life eternal. We will explore the goal and the prize worthy of all our pursuit on today's life study of the Bible from the book of Philippians. And Ron Kangas has returned to be with us for what I believe will be an important program. Thanks for helping, Ron.
I also believe that this program will be important, especially for the way it opens these crucial verses in Philippians chapter 3. And this kind of opening not only gives us the proper understanding of the text, but also motivates us to enter into the experience described in the text. And as the speaking of Brother Lee and hopefully our added fellowship will make clear, this matter of the goal and the prize affect our situation today and what our situation will be during the next age, which is not eternity, but the age of the kingdom. So this is very precious and enlightening fellowship, and we trust that the real seekers of the Lord among our listeners will take heed and then reconsider the book of Philippians and chapter 3 of Philippians in light of the presentation that will be forthcoming.
Ron, we pointed out in our last broadcast, this is a marvelous, perhaps one of the most marvelous, I think, in Philippians, yet mysterious passages in this book. Particularly, we have verses 10 through 14 in chapter 3, and I'd like to read them according to the translation of the Recovery Version, and then ask you to set up the focal point of our program today before we have Witness Lee's portion. Beginning at verse 10, Paul says, "To know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if perhaps I may attain to the out-resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue, if even I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not account of myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward."
Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind, stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue. This is a very active spiritual exercise and engagement. And it's also a focused one. And the focus is presented in verse 14 in two crucial words, goal and prize. I pursue toward the goal. So we need to know what is the goal if we're pursuing toward it. And since the motive in pursuing toward the goal is the prize, we also need to understand the prize, not merely in abstract or general terms, but in concrete, specific, experiential terms, so that we may, by the Lord's enabling and through his sufficient grace, forget, stretch forward, and pursue, even as Paul did.
Let's join Witness Lee. We're going to focus today particularly on these two words, goal and prize.
Pursue toward the goal for the prize of the high calling. There is a goal for the prize. If you could get to the goal, you receive the prize. What is the goal? And what is the prize? The goal is Christ. The prize is also Christ. Christ is everything. Amen. That's right. But the Bible is always not that simple. Right. If you read these four verses, 10 through 14, 14 is no doubt the concluding verse of this little section, right? You could see a synonymous term to Christ. And what is this synonymous term? That is the out-resurrection. First, in verse 10, it says, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. This word indicates clearly that if you are going to know Christ, you have to know His resurrection. Do you really understand this term? In resurrection. He was in eternity. Then He became incarnated. By incarnation, He became the flesh. Amen. Firstly in eternity, then in the flesh. Right. Then in the flesh, He was crucified. Amen. And buried. And what happened? That crucifixion and that burial only ushered Him into another sphere. That sphere is resurrection. Christ today is in resurrection.
Amen.
The angel told his sister at the tomb, don't try to find Him in the tomb. He's now no more in the tomb. Where is He? He is in resurrection.
Amen.
He is in resurrection. As He is in resurrection, if we don't know Him and His resurrection, it'd be hard for us to know Him. Paul, here, help us to know Him not only in His flesh, not only in His death, but also even the more in His resurrection. Oh, to know Him and the power of His resurrection.
Ron, I liked his word near the end here. He said, if we don't know Him in His resurrection, it would be hard for us to know Him. Apart from resurrection, Ron, how could we know Him in any way other than just as a historical figure? We need much more than just an appreciation of the fact of resurrection, don't we?
We do. And my feeling is that very few believers have this. We need something more than a doctrinal appreciation of resurrection. We need to know and understand and realize where He is. Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. And Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, is in our spirit. But in Philippians 3, we have a particular location of Christ, and that is the realm of resurrection. The Christ whom Paul was pursuing in this chapter was a resurrected Christ in the realm of resurrection. Therefore, it follows that if we do not know Him in His resurrection, and if we do not realize that He is in resurrection, it would be very difficult for us to know Him. Now, we may know about Him. We may embrace certain biblical truths concerning Him. And that's excellent. But Paul's desire here was to know Him, experientially. This requires that we know Him in His state of resurrection and in His realm of resurrection So we need to know what this resurrection is. We need to know what it means to know Christ in resurrection. And then we can advance to have the kind of inward, subjective, experiential knowledge of Christ that Paul was seeking in this chapter.
Let's go to Witness Lee.
Out resurrection means what? To get out of anything of the old creation, but also to get rid of, all the things of the old creation. This is on the negative side. On the positive side is to get into God. Lazarus was resurrected, but he was not out of all the old creation things. And he was not brought into God. Even at the end of the old creation age, even the unbelievers who are died will be resurrected. They will also participate in a kind of resurrection. But that resurrection will not bring them out of the old creation. Neither that resurrection will bring them into God. There's only one kind of resurrection that gets you out of the old creation and gets you into God. The resurrection of Christ. Amen. So this is the top resurrection. Christ is the unique one that in this whole universe who is out of the old creation, who entered into the old creation and who stayed in the old creation at least for 33 and a half years. Then his resurrection got him out of this. He bore the old creation upon himself and he brought this old creation to the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is the unique one. Amen. On this whole universe that is absolutely out of the old creation.
Amen.
And he's the unique one that is absolutely in God.
Amen.
Whatever he is, whatever he does, whatever he has, it's all together in God. This is resurrection. This is the out resurrection. And you and I, today, if we are going to know Christ, we must know this kind of a resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only know, we have to attend to this.
Ron, if we know the Bible, we know that not just Lazarus was resurrected, but all the people, believers and unbelievers alike, will all eventually be resurrected from the dead. It's automatic and universal. So for Paul to set general resurrection as his goal just wouldn't make good sense. But what about this kind of resurrection that brings us out of the old creation and into the new?
If the resurrection Paul was talking about here was merely this general resurrection experienced in the future by believer and unbeliever alike, there would be no need for him to pursue it. It's something God will do at its proper time. The deceased unbelievers will be resurrected for judgment. The deceased believers in Christ will be resurrected to enter into eternal life during the millennium if they are overcomers, and ultimately into the eternal age. A resurrection that we can pursue and attain to has to be a particular kind of resurrection. And this is actually Christ himself in resurrection and Christ being resurrection life to us. Lazarus was truly resurrected, but that resurrection did not bring him out of the old creation. Neither did it bring him into God. We know that, according to Matthew, a number of the saints of God were resurrected when the Lord was and appeared to people in the city. But they were not brought out of the old creation, neither were they brought into God. Christ died as a man outwardly in the old creation, terminating the old creation and bringing it into death. When he was resurrected, he, as the God-man, especially in his humanity, was resurrected out of the old creation and was brought wholly into God. This resurrection is extraordinary, so we may follow Paul's designation and speak of it as the out-resurrection. This out-resurrection is something we must pursue. It is something at which we must arrive. Otherwise, although we are believers in Christ and will surely be resurrected eventually, today we will not be released from the thraldom of the old creation experientially. Neither will we be brought into God experientially. So Paul was seeking to know a particular kind of resurrection intrinsically related to Christ. And in this resurrection, Paul realized he would be brought out of the realm of the old creation and brought into God and enter into the realm of the new creation in resurrection. This is something worthy of pursuing, and this is something that we must pursue. According to God's economy, sooner or later, all of His chosen, redeemed, regenerated people will become beings in resurrection to be parts of the New Jerusalem, which is an organic God-man entity wholly in resurrection. Therefore, it's not a question of whether we will be brought into resurrection, but when we will. If we do not waste time and opportunity during our lifetime on earth, but seek to be brought into the out-resurrection now, we will enjoy that as a particular portion to us, even a prize in the coming age. This is a critical matter in pursuing Christ, in knowing Christ, in experiencing Christ, and in gaining Christ according to God's economy. If we arrive at the out-resurrection as a goal now, that very out-resurrection, which is now the goal for us to attain, will be, in the age of the kingdom, the prize for us to enjoy.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for our final segment, Ron.
Years ago, when I was young, I was wondering why it was so hard for Paul to attain to this goal. What was he doing? And he said, I pursue toward the goal. What was the trouble? I couldn't find out. But at that time, what I could think about was just his persecution. People attacked him. People frustrated him to run the Christian race. But even that kind of understanding was not so satisfactory to me. After many years, through the experiences, I got to know. Saints, let me tell you, to overcome attacks is easy. In 1943, I was persecuted by the Japanese invading army. They put me into their prison. Every day, my, they troubled me. I overcame that. That didn't bother me. That didn't subdue me. But I tell you, for me to love my wife, not in the natural way, my goodness, I dare not to say I have succeeded. You check and you tell me every day how many times you talked in a natural way. I don't mean you talked bad things. You talked good things, but in a natural way. Today, to help people to see things go, it's easy. Today, to help people to improve their ethical character, the moral behavior, it's easy. But to live a life that is absolutely in resurrection, we must pursue. We must pursue after this goal, to live a life that is absolutely out of the old creation, and that is absolutely in God. Whatever I say, it has to be in resurrection. It is not a matter wrong or right. Forget about that. It is a matter whether that is in resurrection or is not. And the love that is not in resurrection, I don't exercise. This is the life of out-resurrection. No element of the old creation, but full of God. No wonder such a person, whenever he says something, people just sense as God. This life, this kind of living, is the outer resurrection. This is what Paul exactly means here. Oh, to know him and the power of his resurrection. If by any means I may attain to the outer resurrection. But, brothers, I don't mean I have obtained already. I'm still pursuing. I pursue toward this goal, toward the goal of out-resurrection, toward the goal of a living that is absolutely out of the old creation, and that is absolutely in God.
Ron, I much appreciated his word, especially he said any person with such a living, when he says something, you just have a sense, this is God. Give us your final thoughts today.
It's likely that a good number of even our regular listeners, if they were candid, would have to say that although these words are clear and simple, they may strike them as a foreign language. Christians usually think like this when it comes to their practical living. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this according to the Bible? I don't recall ever seeing a book in a Christian bookstore, other than perhaps our publications, that speak of loving your wife in resurrection, serving the Lord in the new creation in resurrection. It's unexplored territory for most Christians. That's just the fact. A great hindrance is our natural life, by which we mean our created human life. And it's a very difficult matter to be delivered from our natural life in a practical way. And Brother Lee had the basis to testify. It was more difficult for him to overcome a natural love for his wife than to overcome persecution while in prison. We should pay attention to statements like this because they highlight for us the need to have a spiritual understanding of what it is to be in resurrection and how resurrection is versus the natural life, and that we should pursue, as Paul did, this kind of normal experience of Christ. So Paul, in his understanding, to know Christ was to know the out-resurrection. Because the out-resurrection actually is Christ in resurrection, Christ in God. And the more we know Christ in resurrection in this way, the more we are delivered out from the natural life and out from the old creation and are brought into God and live in God, then we can learn, as married brothers, how to love our wives in resurrection. How to love them in Christ. Today, if we mean business with the Lord, we need to learn of Paul and we need to follow Paul to pursue toward the goal. And that goal is a special resurrection, Christ in resurrection, the out resurrection. Why not avail yourself of the life study messages which help to open the Word that we may understand and that we may be ushered into the experience revealed in it.
I'll leave our listeners with the toll-free number upon your invitation to contact us about receiving these materials. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. We'll return tomorrow, this week, and next week as we conclude the Life Study of Philippians. Please be with us for that. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.
Throughout the centuries, the Lord has recovered many truths concerning His purpose and plan for humanity. The Recovery Version of the New Testament by Living Stream Ministry presents these crucial truths in a format that is easy to understand and study. This faithful translation of the original Greek text includes outlines of each book of the New Testament, over 9,000 footnotes, more than 13,000 cross-references, charts of important truths, and color maps. The New Testament Recovery Version from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere. Or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788. That's 1-888-543-3788. To receive a free catalog of Living Stream Ministry publications, call today toll-free 1-888-543-3788.